Some call it stage fright. Some call it the jitters. Some actors are incapacitated because of their nervousness, while others are resolved to live with their anxiety or discomfort. In this episode, we're going to talk about what causes nervousness and offer solutions so that you can be your best acting self. All happening right now in this episode of Casting Actors Cast, the podcast and video for actors from a casting director.
This is Casting Actors Cast. Each episode takes you behind the scenes and answers your questions about the business of show. Please don't forget to subscribe and like wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's the host of Casting Actors Cast, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to today's episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach with the McCorkle Group in New York. I hope you're having a good day. I am excited about this particular episode today because I think we really need to dive a little bit deeper into what causes our nervousness and how that can negatively affect us over time. But first, this is that moment of the podcast where I get to say thank you so much for tuning into Casting Actors Cast. It's been really a thrill for me to see how many people keep coming back over and over again to this patio. I invite you to let other people know about this. It'd really be helpful, I think. Also, I love to see more and more people jump on board by going to the website, castingactorscast.com. You'll find a lot more information, past episodes of the patios, the podcast videos. But also there's a place that says dive into the talent pool. It's a form that you fill out by just giving your name and your email address. And if you do that, that's going to open up some freebies for you. One is a book that I wrote called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the voiceover workshop for professional actors. It's free, 100 pages. It's a workshop based on the classes that I've taught in doing voiceover work. And that's absolutely free of charge. You could just simply download the PDF. Also, if you go to filling out that form, there's a free video for you as well called Casting Directors Secrets, What They Don't Want You to Know. And I'm going to tell you in this 20-minute video, I think it's a lot of fun and the response has been quite positive. So also, if you want to leave me an email and, you know, write me if you like, you can do it on that form, but you can also go to castingactorscast@gmail.com. That's my email address for you to ask any questions, get some kind of feedback. By the way, if you're interested in submitting a video for me to evaluate live on the air, a self-submit or self-tape that you want me to take a look at, as long as you give me permission to show it on the patio, the podcast video, I am happy to evaluate it live on the air. A lot of people have really enjoyed that, and I think many of us have gotten something out of that, just because you can see what other actors are doing, and I think that that's really, really helpful. All right, let's just take a moment now and do a quick shout out to sponsors of the podcast who are promoting Casting Actors Cast. We'll be right back. This episode of Casting Actors Cast would not be possible without the following cross-promotional shout-outs. Actors Connection. Please do yourself a favor and check out Actors Connection. They provide classes, seminars, workshops with working industry professionals to help you advance your acting career. Go to actorsconnection.com/New York for their current calendar of amazing classes, workshops, and events. WeAudition.com. WeAudition.com is the video chat community to audition, self-tape, rehearse, and get expert industry advice. Find a rehearsal or self-tape partner instantly. Earn money for rehearsing with other actors. And as a special incentive to Casting Actors Cast listeners, you will receive 25% off membership using the code CAC25. That's CAC25 for a membership discount. WeAudition.com. Acting and Voice Studios. I am excited to share that Acting and Voice Studios will provide top quality acting training for film and television to actors all around the world. Check out my bi-monthly blog posts on their website while learning more about classes for adults and young people, including voiceover and acting demo production. Go to actingandvoicestudios.com. www.castingactorscast.com. Now, other places in addition to the ones I've just mentioned that I am teaching at include The Growing Studio and T. Schreiber Studio, so I ask you to go ahead and please visit their websites as well. And check out the schedule at castingactorscast.com/classes/workshops. And I hope that we can work together soon. Thank you very much for that. So let's talk about getting nervous. I remember as an actor, sometimes those nerves would overtake me and I would feel sort of having this, I don't know about you, but I would have like this out of body experience to the point where it was so unnerving that I ended up feeling like I sabotaged myself in a lot of different ways because I was so nervous. And many times that nervousness was because I hadn't felt confident. I hadn't felt prepared enough for an audition, as an example. And so those nervous feelings can happen in the weirdest of ways. I can tell you that even being on Broadway and doing over 500 performances on Broadway, there were times when I would still get really nervous. I mean, come on, after 500 performances, but you know what? It's part of the human condition. So let's talk about the physical manifestation of being nervous. What happens when you get nervous? Take a moment and just think about that right now. So for me, I can tell you that my heart rate increases. I can tell you that my breathing gets more shallow. I can tell you that, especially if I've had a lot of caffeine, and you know, I just love caffeine, is that my hands would start to shake, which is really embarrassing if you're holding a script, for example, and your hands are shaking because of overly caffeinated actors. And I see that sometimes when I'm auditioning actors now. But my hands would shake. Also, sweaty palms would be one of those feelings. People talk about butterflies. And that sense that there's something, you know, right in your stomach that feels just like something weird is going on, like an alien invasion or some weird thing. So some of those are the physical manifestations of getting nervous. There are some mental issues also when we are nervous. For example, I always felt a little lightheaded with my nervousness. I felt like everything was just kind of, the way I could best describe it is everything felt a little bit like it was in tunnel vision, that I only could sort of see what was directly in front of me. And so that really was kind of an upsetting thing. It's almost like I had difficulty concentrating, but yet at the same time, I had a limited focus on what I was doing at any given moment, especially feeling nervous. There's also a physiological connection with getting nervous. Psychologically, we feel more inferior. We feel that something is wrong with us, that we are less than. And it just triggers so many issues. Physiologically, we should talk about this. Let's just think about it. Let's go back a million years. An early caveman, I know this is going to sound a little sexist, but early caveman would wake up in the morning. He's in a cave. He's very safe. He's got cave wife and cave baby. And so they have a cave breakfast and they realize, oh my gosh, you know what? We need to get some more food because we're going to get hungry later. So early caveman decides that he's going to go out into the wilderness and he's going to try to get some kind of sustenance. Good word, right? Some food. And so he goes out into the wilderness. Maybe he's got a spear. Maybe he's got a rock, whatever. But he goes out and he suddenly is confronted by a mastodon, a great big woolly mammoth, hairy elephant kind of creature. Now, at that moment that he comes across this creature, several things happen to that caveman, right? Because of the fight or flight response, he has to prepare himself for what is about to happen. So what is about to happen? Well, if he takes that rock and he throws it and he kills that mastodon, then survival of the family is insured. On the other hand, that mastodon could say, who the hell do you think you are? And step on him, in which case it's squished caveman, end of story. So in that way, the caveman has to prepare himself by having additional blood flow go to his arms and legs, his extremities, so that he can either throw that rock to kill the big mastodon, or he can run like hell and get out of there. So the other thing that has to happen is that he has to have his wits about him, but he needs that additional blood supply to go to his extremities. So therefore, his heart rate increases, shallow breathing, his body releases a hormone called adrenaline, and that courses through the body to give that caveman that extra strength that he might need given the situation that he finds himself in. So now we'll take it to today. We still have those physiological manifestations, right? So the reason we have butterflies, for example, is that additional blood supply is being triggered to going into our extremities, to our arms and our legs. So we have that additional strength. Adrenaline still courses through our body. And you know what an adrenaline rush feels like, I'm sure. Many of us, I for one, am kind of addicted to the adrenaline rush I get in certain areas of my life, like driving fast. although I'm not proud of it. But so we have these associations with some of these physiological things that take place today. But getting nervous is literally just a fight or flight response in today's terms. So we also have the fear factor. Anything that we are fearful of, especially if we're confronted by the unknown, like that caveman going into the wilderness, that triggers a lot of those same physiological issues. So mental projections about what we are going into, sometimes that produces a lack of control over our environment. And that loss or lack of control over our environment means that we are triggering fear, which means we trigger all of those psychological, physiological responses. And that's also the thing that I find is most curious is we continue to have this inner dialogue. Oh my gosh, I don't know what's on the other side of that door. And, you know, really, sometimes we think, oh my, I'm going to be killed now, or this is really so scary. I don't know if I want to take the action to see what's on the other side of that door. So our inner dialogue is actually taking charge, which is so uncomfortable, really. It is, isn't it? We feel like, oh my gosh, I am feeling so nervous now. What can I do about that? Well, here's the answer. Let's ask the question first, and let me give you the answer. How can we effectively dissipate our nervous feelings? Step one, try not to deny that your nervousness exists. The minute you try to deny that you're feeling nervous is the minute that that nervousness exacerbates that fear factor. And that's what triggers more nervousness. That's when an additional little dose of adrenaline starts coursing through your bloodstream, and it even makes you more uncomfortable. So don't deny that it exists. In fact, the better choice is just to greet it. Oh, there's those nerves. There's those nerves again. I'm feeling that nervousness coming in. Okay, now I'm going to just try to breathe through it. I'm just going to understand that that's just part of who I am. So try not to deny that your nervousness exists. Try to embrace what's going on with you. Second, focus on the task and not the feeling. So if it's an audition, for example, okay, I'm going to focus on the objective of my character. I'm going to focus on the reader. I'm going to focus on the work that I know is right for this character. In other words, reimagining the task as an actor in an audition and not the fact that you're feeling nervous about it. So it's just really a slight adjustment to putting yourself in a reality that is positive and helpful rather than fearful and, okay, unhelpful. Third is the third way, and I mentioned it just a moment ago, but Breathing is such an important tool to help feeling that you're taking back some level of control with your nervousness. And so I do a thing that I call square breathing, a square breathing technique. It's based on some yoga. And I know it might sound silly, but let me just explain it to you because I find it to be the most significant change in how I approached my nervousness than any of these other things that I could talk about. So square breathing simply means that you're going to inhale on a four count through your nose. You're going to hold that breath on a four count. Then you're going to exhale through your mouth on a four count. And then you're going to leave all of that air out on a four count. So it's inhale, hold, exhale, hold. And you do that four times. You don't want to do it more than four times because, you know, we don't want you fainting or anything like that. You know, breathing is not a good thing. But that square breathing technique in through the nose and out through the mouth with a hold between each one, doing that four times, I promise you, it is just an amazing, a transformative experience that physically you will feel that you are better and more in control. Also, side note, it's kind of a cheap high. So like, you know, if you find yourself alone on a Friday night, a little square breathing might just make you feel a little bit better about all that. But seriously, square breathing can be really, really helpful. The other technique that I suggest when you're feeling those nervous feelings is simply project your future self into the now. Here's what I mean about that. I want you to think about you before the audition. I'm just using auditioning as an example. You can do this before a performance or anything that you feel nervous about. Is imagine you after the audition. Imagine you feeling really great about delivering an excellent audition. How does that look? So literally projecting you into the future now is going to make a big, big difference in the way that your brain deals and handles with these manifestations of nervousness. So project your future self into where you are now, and you're going to feel a tremendous kind of energy and positivity that will make an absolute difference in the way you are feeling at any given moment. Number five, I want you to incorporate the nervousness into the task. If you're feeling nervous, perhaps there are things about the character in your audition, for example, that you can use that nervousness. For example, if you're playing a character who's, a jittery person, well, clearly your own nervousness can really be an attractive trait for the character that you're playing. But it also can be transferred in other ways other than just playing nervous. You can actually do the opposite thing. The more nervous you are, you tell yourself, the more together I'm going to feel. So simply incorporating the nervousness into different tasks that the character has can be a really, really helpful exercise. So your portrayal of your character can incorporate the energy and the usefulness of nervousness at any given time. Now, I can tell you that's not always going to be helpful to you, but it's certainly worth trying, isn't it? So if you're not able to project your future self into the now, then simply think about, okay, how is this nervousness going to be great for my comic timing, for example? Number six, fear is really just simply a defense. It's a defense mechanism as well. It's trying to protect us, yes. It's trying to save us from harm, yes. But it also, like I said earlier about being psychological about this, it's also trying to help us not feel like a failure, like we're going to do something embarrassing. We're going to feel or be less than others. Our own insecurities seem to well up into our nervousness, and that just makes it really crummy, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but it can really have a damaging effect. One quick example of personal privilege, if I might, is that My mother of 94 years passed away about a month and a half ago. And she was just a wonderful person. She raised eight children. And I was fifth born out of a family of eight kids. And when she passed away, just prior to her passing, my sister and my mother were talking. And Jill said, "Well, what do you think about Jeff doing the eulogy for you?" And she's 94. She said, "Oh, that would be a great idea." So it really came to pass that I was, without my knowledge, the designated eulogy giver. And you know what, guys? It was amazing because I have never done that before. And I really was so nervous about, you know, how do you qualify 94 years of a person's life in a 15 or 20 minute, you know, eulogy. And I just wanted to do it such justice. And I really wanted to make it something that was special. And because I come from a large family, there were going to be, you know, 40 or 50 people at this memorial service for her. And I just needed to make it really special. And I really needed to make sure I honored her the best I could. But I can tell you that I had worked on the eulogy. I'd written it and then rewritten it, and I, 3 or 4 weeks and several, multiple rewrites later. And it was so funny for me to experience that level of nervousness just before being invited up to speak on her behalf. And you know, it just was so funny because I hadn't felt that way in such a long time, but I literally employed some of these techniques. And what I really discovered is that there's so much fear, not in terms of public speaking for me necessarily, but that insecurity, that weird kind of what if I make a mistake? What if it doesn't, people don't respond to what I'm sharing? What if, that great what if? But then I realized that fear has an acronym: false evidence appearing real. That you decide that there's something out there that is going to be harmful to you, and you make it very, very real. Well, you know what? That's fear. And there are really effective ways that you can overcome the fear. And I knew that just square breathing. I also envisioned that I had, I had a moral imperative to make sure that she was honored. And that kind of gave me a level of confidence that just before I started doing the eulogy, it just rushed over me in such a profound way that I was so grateful that I had really analyzed what this nervousness was all about. And I can tell you that, without sounding overly boastful here, that it was quite successful. Now, you know, there are effective medications that can help you with your stage fright and your nervousness. Now, I am not a proponent or I am not a detractor from medication, because depending upon where you are at, but just know that there is help out there. If you find that your nervousness can be debilitating, that it can kind of overtake you and really prevent you from the full expression of your creativity, then that is the time that you should really consult a doctor to see if there's something that can help you. And so what I did with my mother is the same thing I'm sharing with you, is if you can repurpose the energy into a positive projection, what would that positive projection mean? You know what I said to myself before I started walking down the aisle to go up to the dais to start speaking? I said, "I got this. I got this. I got this." And so a positive projection about the outcome, but even in the moment, I know what I'm doing. I wrote this. I've rewritten it so many times. I had it memorized. So I really knew that I was going to deliver something really special and meaningful. And you know what? I did. But understand, like anything worth your time, give yourself ample time to process your feelings about being nervous. Also, please understand that part of the human condition includes elements of fear, of nervousness, and sometimes actually anxiety. But honestly, it's how you process these triggers that can make a difference in your work and frankly, even in your life. Also, you know what? I also think it's of value to not overthink your feelings. Sometimes it's just really exhausting to take your own temperature all the time, isn't it? So be careful that you don't self-indulge what you're feeling at any given moment. Just embrace everything that you are feeling, and then all you need to do is take a moment and focus on the task at hand. Here's what I need to do. Over time, you'll come to feel and believe that your nervousness is really an asset and not become detrimental to your creative spirit. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach, and this is Casting Actors Cast.
Casting Actors Cast is made possible with your support, just by listening. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin Clark.